All stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, for a lack of better words, there has really never been a time such as this. Right now, Russian President Vladimir Putin says that the ball is in the European Union's court if they want to freeze this winter. Across the world, we have an incoming global recession brought to you by the canceling of fossil fuels. When they wanted to go woke and go green, they went broke. And now the whole world seems to be facing the same problem. What will Russia do, and who is going to move first? I want to read you a quote. This is coming to you from RT. Once again, you know, it's Russian Times, so it's a little bit of a propagandist media, if you want to call it, but so is Fox News and CNN. But think about this. Russia could be moving the transit volumes that have been lost through the damage to the Nord Stream pipelines to the Black Sea region by establishing what President Putin called a gas hub. And he pointed out that it was possible to repair the damaged pipelines, but that Russia and the European Union should decide their fate. This is his quote. Vladimir Putin says, "We could thus make the main routes for the supply of our fuel, our natural gas, to go to Europe through Turkey, creating the largest gas hub in Europe for Europe in Turkey." Putin said this during an address on Wednesday morning. That's today in Moscow. And he also said, "That is, of course, if our partners are interested in this, and economic feasibility also matters, of course." According to the president, Russian gas could still be supplied to the EU via one remaining part of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline that still remains intact. But that the ball is now in the European Union's court on whether it wanted this to happen. Russia could open the gas taps on that line if the bloc wanted it to. This is starting to become a bit of a stalemate. A nuclear stalemate, by the way. I think all the provocations of war that have been happening in Ukraine has nothing to do with the freedom of Ukraine from Russia. Has nothing to do with the people in the Donetsk region. It has nothing to do with the DPNR. It has nothing to do with any of that. This everything that we see now has to do with the economy, the gold standard, crypto, and fossil fuels. I think, given what we're going to be discussing today, you may want to start studying what happened to Muammar Gaddafi. I hope Vladimir Putin has his protection. Because it seems to be that the powers that try to run the world are going to come down on Vladimir Putin one way or the other, through a internal strife, revolutions, civil war, assassinations, or through an external attack. Either way, the dark times are coming. As Joe Biden has been favorably saying for almost a year now, a dark winter is upon us. We'll be right back. Mountain State Survival covers your basis for your planning, prepping, evacuation, bugging in, or bugging out needs. They carry anything from educational material, camping supplies, emergency services supplies, food, first aid, survival kit and equipment, shooting gear, survival gear, tactical gear. They carry it all. They got it in stock. Give Mountain State Survival a ring. That's mountain-state-survival.com. Get this type of supplies while you still can. 304-517-6935. Mountain State Survival is one of the only places that I know of currently that is still carrying the delicious Peak Refuel meal that is ready to eat. It's personally the only thing that I eat at this point whenever I go out camping, whenever we have any type of emergency or disaster situation. That is the meal that I stick with, and you can find that at mountain-state-survival.com. Use Rekker5 for a 5% discount on your overall purchase. That's R-E-K-K-R-5. Mountain State Survival. All right, and we're back. Welcome to American Vindicta. So, the headlines are just getting crazier. I'm seeing people that are literally trying to ditch the dollar and go to gold immediately. And I want to say that there's a proposal for our government to do the same. Whether you choose to believe that or not is inconsequential. U.S. Congress has now introduced a gold standard bill as the inflation spirals out of control. This is coming to you from Zero Hedge by Tyler Durden. America's currency would regain stable footing for the first time in half a century if a bill just introduced by U.S. Representative Alex Mooney of West Virginia becomes law. Because this person is also a Republican and trying to promote health and safety and a good well-being for the country, this will probably be voted down unanimously. Let's continue. Referred to as the Gold Standard Restoration Act by Sound Money activists, H.R. 9157. Calls for the repegging of the Federal Reserve note to gold in order to address the ongoing problems of inflation, runaway federal debt, and monetary system instability. Upon the passage of H.R. 9157, the U.S. Treasury and the Federal Reserve would have 30 months, that's a long time, 30 months, to publicly disclose all gold holdings and gold transactions, after which time the Federal Reserve note, the dollar, would be pegged to a fixed weight of gold at its then market price. Federal Reserve notes would become fully redeemable for and exchangeable with gold at the new fixed price, with the U.S. Treasury and its gold reserves backstopping Federal Reserve banks as a guarantor. The gold standard would protect against Washington's irresponsible spending habits and the creation of money out of thin air. This says Representative Mooney. Prices would be shaped by economics rather than the instincts of bureaucrats. No longer would our economy be at the mercy of the Federal Reserve and a reckless Washington spenders. The Gold Standard Restoration Act also makes several findings as to the harm that the Federal Reserve system has inflicted on everyday Americans, particularly since President Richard Nixon, who temporarily suspended gold backing of America's monetary system in 1971. It's what I want to say about this. This is twofold. For one, could it fix our economy? Possibly. But I want to tell you a story. Probably about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I had a friend of mine who was a captain in the Army Intelligence. And we had discussed loosely, of course, we wouldn't discuss openly these things, but we had discussed loosely that the CCP, the Communist Chinese Party, was waiting to challenge America militarily whenever our economy crashed. Let me tell you why. When our economy crashes, thus crashes the influence that America has upon the world, thus detangles the fine woven threads of neutrality that we have with other nations, with alliances and treaties. Because if we can't pay you anymore, and you can't profit us anymore, and China will, then these other nations will go the route of China. And the story goes on that the way it was explained to me is that we will be hauled in front of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, and China will challenge us gold for gold. What does that mean? That means we are going to have to put on display to the world how much gold we have. Sorry, it's been a very long night. I've been up all night researching stuff for today. Pardon my yawns. We're going to be dragged in front of the IMF, and we're going to say we have 8 tons of gold to back our dollar. And China will say, well, because they claim that we have 30 tons of gold. Now, I think it was 2010, 11 time frame when China did this before. And the IMF went to their reserve banks. They did some core sampling of gold bars and had determined that they were, some of them were gold-plated bars of tungsten that would replicate the weight and the feel of a gold bar. So automatically, China lost the bet. But during that time, between then and when this action happens again, between us and China and the great gold showdown, we had a little bit of an Iran debacle, thanks to your favorite president, Barack Hussein Obama. Now, if you remember correctly, we were giving billions of dollars in cash to Iran. Well, if you recall this story, Russia and China were trading oil by the barrel for pallets of gold. Pallets of gold with Iran. Because we had strangled the Iranians' ability to use a global market. So if Iran wanted to have any type of trade, you had to go to Iran. And your transaction had to be done there. So I do believe that China, through Iran, and also through the Belt and Road Initiative throughout countries like Africa, has gained an unknown amount of wealth of mineral resources, possibly to include gold, platinum, uranium, iridium, silver, rhodium, all the things that are traded and sought for constantly by the gold standard markets. If we actually look on Kitco right now, you'll see that gold is being asked for $1,674.10 an ounce. Silver is at $19 an ounce. Platinum is at $893 an ounce. Palladium is at $2,222 an ounce. And rhodium is at $14,000 an ounce. Crude oil is at $86 a barrel. And the US dollar says it is worth 113. What lies? So, back to the story. So China is driving the engine of economic collapse. They may have not have started the car. They may not have filled it up. They may not have put it into drive, but they are doing their best to grab hold of the wheel and to steer the economic collapse of the West, because the BRICS nations needs that, by the way, to go to the gold standard. And the only way America beats the BRICS nations is by going to the gold standard first. But if we go to the gold standard, we won't go crypto. And if we don't go crypto, then we don't go to the digital dollar. We don't have the government wallet. The government doesn't know every single transaction that you make because they can't account for it now because the dollar is still viable and live. So, does it go against our government, the big government, the deep state? Does it go against their better interest to screw over every American and to go digital? Or does it suit them to fight the Hydra that is the BRICS nation that's led by China? In my personal opinion, I think we've been sold out. I don't think the Fed can and will do anything to help with the inflation. If anything, we've learned recently that the Fed said that it will gladly raise the hikes, even if it leads to mass job loss. Listen to this. Reiterating, once again, a message that was sent by numerous central bankers in the past couple of weeks, the Chicago Fed President Charles Evans took a hawkish tone during an interview with CNBC and argued in favor of aggressive rate hikes by the central bank. Only 3 weeks before the Fed's next meeting, where they are expected to raise interest rates again by 0.75%. Evans suggested that the job losses were an acceptable circumstance. Quote, if unemployment goes up, that's unfortunate. If it goes up a lot, that's really very difficult. But price stability makes the future better. So let me drive home a point for you, for all of you right now who are listening. Train, prep, and pray. Get your body in health. Get your health in line. Get your body hardened. Get your feet on the pavement. Get the iron in your hands and start pumping the muscles. Start getting that heart rate going. Because when the economy collapses, guess what you're not going to be able to do? Go to the doctor. Afford the medicine. Afford the surgeries. So get in shape. The next thing. The next thing would be preparing. Take the cash out while you can. This is my best advice to everybody. Leave the cash in your bank systems that you need to cover bills. Stop using your credit cards if you can. I'm not going to give you advice on financial stuff of how to use credit cards. Some people say max your credit cards out and never pay them back. Who cares about your credit score? I'm not going to tell you to do that. What I'm going to tell you to do is what the Bible would tell you to do, and owe no man. Make sure all your debts are paid, and then every bit of money that you make, I would say take 10% of it and leave it in the bank, and put the rest of it at your house. Because the rate that we're going these people are going to take their big hand and go right into your cookie jar, which is the bank, your savings account, your checking account, your Roth IRA that you think is protected, the stock market, your pensions like mine. They're going to reach into every pocket that has a coin in it, and they are going to take it out. They have the legal power. Congress has the legal power to take your money to pay off national debt. Don't give it to them. That's your money. You earned that. Unlike what Barack Hussein Obama said. No, you built it. You earned it. You keep it. Stop giving it to these bastards. They are going to bankrupt the country. It's being done on purpose. China is laughing and smiling as it's happening. What kind of a statement is this? If unemployment goes up, that's unfortunate. If it goes up a lot, that's really very difficult. But price stability makes the future better. For all of you who are still struggling to pay bills, for all you who are still reaching out to God, asking for Him to open up the floodgates, ease back the restrictor, I'm in the same boat with you. Most Americans are. You know who's not? The $400 tie-wearing fool who runs the Fed. These people don't care about us. How many times do I have to say that? They don't care about you. Look at the gas prices next time. They don't care about you. They don't care about us. They don't care about your kids. They don't care about your inability to pay bills. They don't care about your mortgage. They don't care about your bankruptcy. They do care about getting your money and your taxes, though. We are not too big to fail. This government is not too big to fail. They're too big to be successful, I'll tell you that, because they fail us all the time. Right now, the way that we see it, the European Union is about to be completely clobbered. Completely clobbered. The whole world seems to be going into some sort of a recession. Even Biden has now recently said that there's a possibility, but it's a very slight possibility, of going into recession. And at that, he also says that he can beat Trump. Ay, ay, ay. This guy, this freaking clown of a president, my former boss, commander-in-chief, an absolute clown of a man. Listen to this article from Zero Hedge. With New York Times engaging in preemptive damage control, calling Biden's demented torrent of fabrications and lies folklore with dates that don't quite add up and details that are exaggerated or wrong, the factual edges shaved off to make them more powerful for audiences. Covering up for Biden's lies. Then going so far as comparing Trump with Biden and concluding that with Biden, people have decided these are not the kind of lies that matter. These are the kind of lies that people's grandfathers tell. You knew, you know, the something that was epic but was about to come out of Biden's mouth. They're covering up for his lies, saying, oh, he's just crazy old Uncle Joe. That's just Grandpa Joe. You know the man's crazy. He belongs in a retirement home. Don't trust anything Grandpa Joe says. Especially don't leave any of your kids around him. Quote, I don't think there will be a recession. If it is, it will be a very slight recession. That is, we'll move down slightly. That is Joe Biden, after sparking absolute chaos at the Fed for blowing up their carefully planted narrative that the Fed will somehow not push the economy into a recession. So good job, Uncle Joe. You ruined it again with your Inflation Reduction Act. More like the Inflation Increasing Act. This guy has ruined our foreign policies, our internal policies. He has hamstrung us economically. He has strangled us with our energy resources. And now he wants to start World War III. This guy's only been in office, what, 2 years? Not even? Could you imagine if Trump had did all this? If Trump had gone through the same amount of crap that we are right now, what do you think the media would be doing to Trump? I'm not saying Trump's a great guy. I'm not saying Trump's a bad guy. I'm just saying they hated Trump for every single thing that they could. But no one ever had the amount of ammo on them to be used at someone like Biden. But it's not being used. Still, they try to shoot their wad at Trump. I hope that God uses this as a big smack in the face to the establishment, to the monarchs that are within our government, the oligarchy that runs our nation. I hope God uses this to smite them in front of everyone. Because that's what needs to happen, or we're going to have a revolt ourselves. Germany right now is facing the potentiality of a revolt. When I say revolt, I mean like a legitimate revolt against their would-be rulers in their parliament. The entire world is destabilized. The entire world has become destabilized. If I was able to be in front of Joe Biden, this is what I would probably most likely say to him. If I could ever be on the red carpet in front of Congress, this is probably what I would say to most of Congress. God, give me the words. For all of your accomplishments and your seniority, your behavior is unacceptable. You are all unstable. Worse, you are all destabilizing. You have all become a catalyst for dissent. And the harder all of you react towards the infractions of others, the more resentment you get for not having a fraternal understanding of human rights, human intelligence, or the need for life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Our politicians have failed our nation. They have failed the world. Who is at the United Nations right now begging for peace? Who is at NATO right now trying to open up a line between Russia and Ukraine? Why hasn't the world agreed that instead of funneling all this crap to Ukraine, and instead of threatening the largest nuclear superpower in the world, why don't we just make a bold dash towards neutrality and say, hey, Ukraine, Russia, put your guns back in your closets, come outside, let's talk. Let's talk, stop killing each other, both sides are losing horribly. You guys are going to hate each other for decades. But at least we don't have to end this in nuclear fire. But where are our diplomats trained in college to learn how to negotiate these harsh geopolitical commentary? Where is the leader of the free world? Who is the leader of the free world? Let's ask that question. Is it Vladimir Putin? Is it Xi Jinping? Is it Kim Jong-un? You know, who is it? Because it sure as hell isn't Kamala Harris, and it sure as hell isn't Joe Biden. So who is going to do it? Who is going to be the first one to lay the big stick down and to say there's a time for war and there's a time for peace? Or is this the time for war? Or is this prophecy being unfolded in front of our very eyes? For every American right now, I want you to know, I believe it's next week, OPEC has declared that their production cut for the United States to have oil is going down by 2 million barrels a day. If we are not going to make that ourselves, gas is going to go up more. Diesel is going to go up more. Diesel is back above $5, which sucks because I drive a big giant 7.3 liter Ford Excursion. And it loves to drink diesel. In certain parts of the country, gas got up to $6.89. And that was just for regular. Diesel was around $6.69 at some of the highest places. Ladies and gentlemen, when that diesel gets above $8, the trucks that move your produce, your materials, your medicines, your mail, all the other resources that come on the back of a flatbed or in a box trailer is going to stop because they can't afford it. They're not going to be able to afford it. And you know what else? The rail workers have now rejected, the rail workers union has now rejected Biden. They rejected the labor deal and they have renewed the strikes. So now the countdown starts to work stoppage. So now the countdown starts to economy collapsing, shortages in goods, next day delivery is going to go away for a little bit. Things are going to start missing on the shelves. Your food, that's going to be the first thing that goes missing. The meats, the vegetables, the canned food, the bread, the flour, the sugar, the coffee. Hopefully people leave the alcohol alone, but I know Americans. And with that is going to come food riots. It's that time of year. It's that time of year. It's going to get cold soon. You know what's going to happen to a lot of us who are going to have to run our heaters nonstop? Your energy bill is going to spike, just like mine. And considering the fact that not one electric company is going to let you skip a payment, you're going to have to fork over that payment for your electrical bill, which means you're going to have to choose which other bill am I going to prolong till next month and be constantly, consistently behind. we used to always tell people, keep your gas tanks filled up, keep your refrigerator stocked, and to keep a couple thousand dollars worth on hand as a nest egg. The average household can't afford to fill up their cars. They can't afford to fill up the refrigerators and the deep freezes. And the average household can barely scrounge up $500 after paying bills. So when an actual emergency happens, what are we all going to do about it? Individually, every household is going to break down. And then every street, and then every neighborhood, and every county, and every city, and every state will be destabilized, as so is the plan, so that internal conflict can start. Oh, and by the way, what happens when they start to manually shut down the power grid? Or what happens when we have the next horrendous storm that shuts down the power grid? I don't know if you know this or not, but if we get to the way that France is right now, have you heard about this? In France, they are so desperately short on fuel. So desperately short on fuel that even the law enforcement have been videotaped several different times of having to push their vehicles into a gas station and then move people out of the way who are in line to fill up so that they could go and respond to calls for service. And even to the point that it actually instigated a fistfight amongst cops and the waiting people at the gas pump. I sat there and watched the videos, and I just shook my head thinking, oh God, and we plan on destroying our fossil fuel system and going the new Green Deal route and then having, what, energy-dependent cars solely on electric power? But when the grid goes down and you're in an emergency and every cop car has an electric battery in it, not a gas tank, what are we supposed to do? Fred Flintstone our way to you? No. That's why I've been telling you, learn to self-rescue. Be prepared. Train. Pray. Doesn't hurt. Most people don't listen. Most people don't listen. They say, this happened before. It'll happen again. We'll go back to normal. Well, the last time this type of stuff happened was back in the 1970s. Does anybody remember the 1970s gas shortages that fueled the bedlam across America? I'm sure some of you old cats remember when gas was 79 cents, 85 cents for the premium stuff. I think when I was in high school, gas was 95 cents a gallon. You know, that's back in the early 2000s. I think it was like 2002, maybe. I'm not sure if you remember this or not. Some of you might not. But the line of cars stretched for blocks, just like what's happening in France. Miles of cars waiting to fill up. Oh, by the way, they're only allowed about 8 gallons. And then, poof, they're gone. Same thing that happened to us, actually, just a segue, during Hurricane Katrina. You're only allowed about 10 gallons of gas, and then the next person had to move on. The pumps ran dry in 1970. Newspapers warned of a great gas crunch. The president urged for calm, but panicked motorists began to turn on one another. Was this because of hackers? Or ransomware? Or a cybercrime? Nope. This was the 1970s, an age of 12 miles per gallon and decidedly low-tech fuel shortage culprits. Yet geopolitics, OPEC, in the Iranian Revolution. If the service station situation seems bad now, if you think the prices at the pump are bad now, with a worsening fuel shortage growing across the southeast because of the storm, it's worth revisiting the pair of gasoline crises that bookended the me decade and incited an alarm that one historian said was worse than the pandemic of COVID. To fully grasp this impact of the 1973 and the 1979 shortages on fuel, contemporary readers should journey into that era's psyche. Meg Jacobs, who's a Princeton University historian, has chronicled the tumultuous time, described by post-World War II scene as a golden age of highways and shopping malls and the suburban sprawl. An energy emergency was not exactly in the cards, but it still happened. The notion that Americans were going to run out of gas was both new and completely terrifying. It came on so suddenly, says Jacobs, the author of Panic at the Pump, The Energy Crisis and the Transformation of American Politics in the 70s, that at the same time, our cars were the size of living rooms. So not only were the cars large, but they also played an outsized role in America's self-conception. Everybody was completely dependent and in love with their cars as a symbol of American triumph and freedom, says Jacobs. Then the oil shock started. First in 1973, when Arab oil exporters imposed an embargo on the United States and many of its allies in retaliation for American support of Israel during the Yom Kippur War. An aide to President Richard Nixon called it the Energy Pearl Harbor. Then after Iran ousted its Shah in 1979, the country's oil production dipped and OPEC, the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, if you didn't know that's what that stood for, started to raise their prices, which triggered, yet again, another shortage. Both times, the reaction was similar. Americans freaked out at the pump, and their response was to go line up at the pumps. And this was more than just a mad rush on toilet paper. Americans understood this as a lifeline to the country. No gas, no movement. No gas, no freedom. No gas, no holiday. No gas, no traveling adventures. No gas, no going to the supermarket to get food. No gas, no going to work. No work, no money. No gas. So this was much more than just an empty tank. It was a blow to a treasured star-spangled mythos. The people out there are getting frantic, observed the protagonist in John Updike's novel of the period, Rabbit is Rich. They know the great American ride is ending. That's the quote from the book. Gas prices surged. Federal officials reduced the national speed limit to 55 miles an hour to help conserve the fuel. Gas stations flew a stoplight-themed array of flags to alert drivers about their fuel shortage supplies. Red meant that they were all out, yellow meant running low, and green signaled they were stocked up. One man judging the system to be un-American burned the flags with acid. Some drivers ventured out before sunrise to fill up. So states started instituting a rationing system based on car license plates. if you had an even number, you could only get gas on even numbered days. At least one man was arrested for pulling a gun on a gas station attendant who refused to fill his car because it was the wrong day. Cars began to encircle city blocks as people waited for more than an hour for their turn at the pump. A Washington Post headline on the front page of the June 9th, 1979 newspaper had announced that gas lines long, temper short in panic buying. The article noted that occasional fist fights and described one kerfuffle along the district's Connecticut Avenue where two motorists cut in line at a BP station. According to witnesses, one of the culprits pulled in front of a very heavy-set man who angrily jumped from his car, opened the door of the line jumper, and began to curse royally. Only the driver's white hair may have saved him from the violence, which means only the fact that the driver was elderly saved him from the beatdown. The news coverage was ceaseless and all caps in format and tone. Charles B. Sieb, the Washington Post, how do they say it, ombudsman at the time, dubbed it our all-consuming concern. The phrase gas shortage appeared in the pages of the Post more than 1,300 times from 1973 through 1979. And correspondents covered the people waiting in line, like D.C. Council Chair John Nevius, who was, quote, just like the rest of us, and those who skipped ahead, such as construction companies and car rental services. They observed the wider economic fallout, such as the beach cottages that went unrented in Ocean City, and the ice cream cones not purchased in Montgomery Mall. And they followed the crisis to unusual locals. One therapist had reported that almost every patient was voicing frustration and anger and fantasies about gasoline. Quote, most of what I hear are fantasies of what they'd like to do to a person who cut in a gas line. They'd like to explode on blank, 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 such a person. Turns out, Jacob said, that many Americans wound up exploding on their political leaders as well. And the 1973 embargo came just days before the Saturday night massacre, when Nixon purged his Justice Department, and oil issues would play an often overlooked part in his downfall. Watergate is what doomed Richard Nixon, but the energy crisis was really the final nail in the coffin, says Jacobs. The administration had internal polling that told them that the public was actually more upset about the gas shortage than the embattled president's political scandal. In the end, he didn't have a good answer for either one of them. So then Jimmy Carter ran for president, promising honesty and an end to the oil crisis. So be looking for that promise from our lovely politicians. Peace and safety. So once elected, Jimmy Carter created the Energy Department, hoping to reduce dependence on foreign oil and fossil fuels. He attached solar panels to the White House roof and chastised Americans for their self-indulgence and consumption. Yet, another shock came. He was promising a solution, only to then fail miserably in the eyes of the public. Bumper stickers started reading, Carter can kiss my gas, which began appearing on the cars of disgruntled drivers, and he lost his reelection. So both panics helped fundamentally to reshape American politics. And don't forget, if Vietnam and Watergate had taught Americans to mistrust their leaders, the energy crisis taught them that the government did not work. All this raises an obvious question. How does what happened then compare to now? The country is witnessing the fallout of a cyber attack that shut down a major U.S. pipeline and has led to fuel shortages in the southeast. Then we have the strikes from OPEC that's taking away 2 million barrels of oil a day to us. Nord Stream 1 and 2 were attacked. We're trying to negotiate with Saudi Arabia, who said, up yours, Joe Biden. And then Iran gave us the bird. Now we're in Venezuela on our knees begging for oil. But yet in our own very ground, we have the lifeblood of this country. Natural gas, and oil right there. People have been emailing me, hey, I'm from Alaska. We got it right here seeping out of the ground. The XL pipeline can lead us straight into Canada. And guess what the Canucks said? Come on over here. We'll give you some of our oil, eh? We had a partnership. We had a deal. They'd make money. We'd make money. They'd have job growth. We'd have job growth. Does it make sense for a man who ran so hard against Donald Trump from his basement to then be the biggest goof and gaffe of any president of the lifetime of the American nation? This is not being done because he's a bad president. He is a bad president. But this is being done because this is purpose-built. It's purpose-built. This was meant to happen. This man was chosen. Do you understand me? Joe Biden was chosen by the powers that be to take down this nation brick by economic brick. If he lasts two more years, that's going to be a miracle. At that point in time, Joe Biden, 2 years from now, is probably going to have dementia. And the White House is not going to be able to walk it back anymore. Joe Biden can't even walk straight half the time, let alone walk back his comments consistently. So what's coming? November elections, they'll be saying peace and safety is what we assure. Peace and safety, stabilization, equality, fair and equity for everyone, for every race, for every gender, for every economic path, for every American. But sudden destruction is going to follow. Listen to these headlines. Putin's new Ukraine commander was dubbed General Armageddon for his ruthless track record. Russia and Russia's commanders are worried about the state of their military machine, says the head of British intelligence. They said Tuesday, British intelligence, Jeremy Fleming, said that we can see that desperation at many levels inside Russian society and inside the Russian military machine. Desperation. I don't see desperation when I look at Putin. I see methodical planning. I see strategic planning. He's not running around beating his chest. He's not running around spending money on everything that has nothing to do with making your economy work. So where is the madness? Where's the confusion? Where's the bad man? Where's the Russian boogeyman? Where is Baba Yaga? Huh? Because I don't see him. Instead, I see a man who is waiting to take the gloves off, who's waiting to go on the more brutal offensive and to put the West on its heels. And if we're lucky, they will have mercy and compassion. If we're unlucky, well, have you ever read the book One Second After? Maybe you should. Now there's a major Russia-Germany oil pipeline that is partially shut down after a leak was found. So, once again, the economy of poor Germany is being struck. Ukraine is urging its citizens to limit electricity as Russia pummels the infrastructure. Yeah, that's war. That's what they do during war. We attack the infrastructure. Ukrainian officials say we must be prepared for temporary disruptions of electricity, water supplies, and communication. You see, here's the thing. Americans live in a very bubble-like environment because we think actions that are being taken place right now in Ukraine will never happen here. I hope you that think that way are correct. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you you're wrong. Clint Elric has now tweeted that Russia's retributory airstrikes are heavily focused on Ukraine's energy grid. This video that I'm looking at shows a thermal power plant that's being destroyed in Kiev. The damage from the attacks was so severe that Ukraine is ending all electrical exports to Europe, saying its own grid is now unstable. If you didn't know this, Ukraine actually provided energy to multiple different countries that were around it. So now those countries who aren't getting the extra bit of energy from Ukraine, and they took down their own energy processing plants and tried to go new and green, are all looking at riots. Food shortage, gas shortage, mass job loss, mass layoff, panic. What do you think the people are going to do when all resources are rerouted to the government and to the military? Think people aren't going to get pissed? Cash for fracking. The United Kingdom households may receive payments for allowing drilling upon their lands. Can you believe this? The UK has now lifted its long-running ban of fracking last month. The UK households could soon receive cash payouts for allowing fracking in their neighborhoods. Drilling companies could soon go door to door in Britain, offering money in exchange for fracking support. Enjoy it. Enjoy it while it comes. France, Germany, Spain. Because here's what I theorize. I theorize that it's going to get so bad in Europe, I think it's going to get so bad that France, Germany, and Spain, possibly Spain, or at least France and Germany, are going to have to bite the bullet, get on their knees, kiss the ring of power that Putin wears, and they're going to have to align themselves politically, maybe even militarily, with Russia, in order to prevent absolute catastrophic devastation in their nations. And you know what happens then? France is a major nuclear power in the world, especially in NATO. And now they'll be aligned with Russia. Doesn't hurt that they're already a communistic-like socialist state. But that is the reality of this economic war. It starts off economically, and then it's going to go hot. It's going to go kinetic. Nuclear power goes woke. Greta Thunberg. Oh, this little girl, Greta Thunberg, admits that keeping plants online is a better option than coal. So she's admitting that it's better to have nuclear plants running than to use coal-powered plants. All right, listen up, teenager, who knows so damn much about the world. At the end of the day, when it's sub-zero outside, you're not going to care where your energy comes from. Because if you don't make it to spring, who cares what the world looks like in 1,000 years? Arguing with a bunch of people that lay in their coffins daily. That's another part of the problem, is that we try to bring this common sense to people. I know most of you listening to me, you see the common sense that's out there and the lack of common sense. It's going to be a burning, sinking boat. And they're going to chastise everyone that tries to put the flames out and plug the holes. And then they're going to call everyone who abandons the boat a traitor. Dark days ahead. This is going to be one of the worst energy crises that we have seen in decades. Get prepared, ladies and gentlemen. Stay frosty. The enemy's out there.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
I can't.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.